There were a couple of questions raised regarding the composition and the contracts of the current ISU staff. So let me just clarify a couple of things on that. So maybe that will help in your deliberations. So all the contracted ISU staff now are on secretariat staff contracts. But assessed, you know, with the funds we use are against assessed contributions that you all contribute with. Now, how we hire and how we the current composition came about, and I just wanted to refer to the staff rules of the UN. So as the UK ambassador was just referring to, that on the financial issues we are dealing with, you know, the financial rules of the UN, and on the staff issues we are indeed dealing with the staff rules of the UN. And in Article 4 of the UN staff rules, it clearly says that the power of appointment of staff members rests with the Secretary General. In Regulation 4.2, it says, and I'll read this out, the paramount consideration in the appointment, transfer, or promotion of the staff shall be the necessity of securing the highest standards of efficiency, competence, and integrity. Due regard shall be paid to the importance of recruiting the staff on as wide geographical basis as possible. So this is something this office strives to do on a constant basis, to always put the geographical element in there, but of course also looking at the merits of the staff. And we are indeed bound by the UN staff rules to make sure that this happens. And this is a very important objective for the office in Geneva, but also for ODA overall. The current composition of staff members, if I then take into account the project that is currently supported by the EU to make sure the efficient implementation of the BWC mandate around universalization, capacity development, and science and technology components of the mandate, is Philippines, Mexico, Austria, the UK, and Switzerland. So that is the current composition of the staff members in the ODA branch, so embedded in the ODA branch as either project staff or secretariat staff members working on BWC issues. Now, just one more point around prioritization, and I really welcome the chair's paper on this and some of the statements that has been brought forward today. I do think, and you heard me say this many times, that when it comes down to my job, and as Mr. Adams was referring to as well, I would need that clarity in prioritization, because I'm often faced with the fact that if I prioritize staff contracts, I will be taking the risk of not holding meetings, and if I prioritize meetings, I might not be able to extend staff contracts. So this is a real dilemma that we simply have to reason with. So any effort on your side to make that prioritization clear is much welcome. Thank you so much, Mr. Chair.